We have been engaged in, or beginning in this series of, we're calling love letters, as we look at both 1st and 2nd Corinthians together. I want to challenge you, encourage you, take time in reading through these books, doing the devotionals that we're doing together, be a part of a small group, and then we've also challenged you to be part of a Life on Life group, which is kind of a micro small group of two or three or four, where we're challenging each other to the truths and to the application of those truths to our personal lives. And so I want to challenge you to that. This morning I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which is the passage we'll be focused on this morning. And in each of these passages, these are indeed Paul writing to the church in love. But now this morning, this text, he gets to deal with some pretty harsh issues in the life of the church. And really, the thought, the challenge is to each of us, as it was to them, do not be deceived. See, the reality is that the believers who were part of that Corinthian church had been deceived in many ways. And so Paul is writing these letters to speak truth to them in love. It was a deception that they were buying into that undervalued the things that God had given great value to. In the first week, we saw some of those as Paul was highlighting and encouraging them to understand the value of their salvation. That in the salvation that was in Jesus Christ, they were redeemed, they were set apart, they were made saints in Christ. And he was encouraging them to understand that. And last week, we saw that they were undervaluing the relationships of their life. Our life in Christ is built on those relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, brothers and sisters, and our relationship to those who need to know Christ. And they were undervaluing it. And Paul's saying, don't be deceived. These things are important to you. And here, this week, he's challenging them not to undervalue themselves. Not to undervalue their bodies and the opportunities they have to be a witness for Christ and a light unto the world. These are dangerous deceptions. And what was going on in Corinth is the same thing that's going on in our world and particularly in our churches today. We let the philosophies of this world squeeze us into their mold, cause us to think the way they think and to see things the way they see things. And this is not the truth, for the natural world is darkened to the things of God and darkened to the truth. And so Paul's saying, don't be deceived. Here's the truth. Let it inform your opinions. Let it inform your decisions. Let it lead your life that you might bring glory to God. I'm going to invite you to read from chapter 6 this morning, beginning in verse 12. Everything is permissible to me, but not everything is helpful. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be brought under the control of anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will do away with both of them. For the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. For God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are part of Christ's body? So should I take a part of Christ's body and make it part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For the scripture says the two shall become one flesh. But anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee, run from sexual immorality. For every sin a person can commit is outside the body. On the contrary, the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Would you pray with me? Father, we come this morning asking that you would challenge our hearts to its truth. Lord, let us understand our world as you have created it and as you've made it. Help us to understand ourselves as you intended us to be. So, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to that truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mike Royko is a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Several years ago, he did a story about a man named Bill Mallory. And the story was that this man named Bill Mallory was in a panic search for truth and desiring to understand the purpose of life. He traveled to India, he traveled to Tibet, but returning, he still had no answers. And when he came back, he noticed that the Chevron gas station had a slogan at that time. The slogan was, "As you travel, ask us." And so he just decided he was going to take him up on that. So every time he went to a Chevron gas station, he would go to the attendant and he would ask him the question, "I'm traveling, I'm a traveler. What's the meaning of life?" And these are some of his responses. These are real answers. I'm not making this up. First guy, he asked the question, simply looked at him and said, "Sorry, I'm new here." The second guy said, "I don't remember reading anything like that in the manual." Another guy simply said, "Well, I'm not for much for church myself." Said another guy, just gave him a leering look and winked at him. Doesn't know what that meant. However, most people just gave him a blank stare. One day, Mallory got a phone call from Chevron's customer service office, and they said, "We understand that you've been asking questions of our dealers, and they've not been able to give you a satisfactory answer." So the man said, what we'd like to ask you to do is simply just write us a letter with your question, include a self-addressed envelope with a stamp on it, and we'll resend it back. Several weeks later, he got the envelope returned, but the only thing in the envelope was an application for a credit card. If you want to know the purpose of life, you're not going to find it at a gas station. You're not going to find it in a talk show. You're not going to discover it in a self-help book or a seminar. If you want to know the purpose of life, you need to talk to the Creator, the one who made you, or you need to read the owner's manual. You were made by God, and you were made for God. And until you understand that, life isn't going to make sense. To get the most out of Paul's teaching in this passage, I think we need to back a little bit away and get the big picture, our understanding of God's purpose for life. Not only will it help us in life, but it will help us understand and enjoy the life God created us for. Paul says it clearly. The very last statement of the passage begins with the word "therefore." Right? So we always know in Scripture when we come across therefore, we look before that. The preceding passages are leading to this truth. Right? "Therefore, glorify God in your body." That's the big truth. You and I were created to glorify God. We were created for the glory of God. We were created to bring glory to God. So we know that. We embrace that truth, and the Bible speaks of it frequently. It begins with that story in Genesis chapter 1. It's the story of how God created you and I in His image and after His likeness. Those first two chapters give the story in detail that God shaped us from the dust of the earth, and He breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a complete being. He created us as the crowning work of His creation. It was the last work of God's creation, and then He rested. And when He looked on His creation as He created us, man and woman, He said, "It is very good." We were created by God, for God, and in His image. This tells us so many things. It tells us, first of all, that God highly values us. It also informs us about our purpose. That created in His image, we were created in His image that we might give glory to Him. Of course, that passage also reveals what went wrong. God created, it was very good, but man rebelled. You remember the temptation, what the real temptation was? It was that the fruit might cause us to be like God. It would give us the knowledge of good and evil, and we would become like God. Man desired the glory of God, just as Satan did. Satan desired the glory of God in his rebellion, and man desires the glory of God in our rebellion. Isaiah 43 says, God says through the prophet, "Do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar. Bring my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name, those whom I have created for my glory. Those whom I formed and I have made." I want you to understand that this morning, that God has created us for His glory. Yes, we've rebelled against Him, but God has also redeemed us. He's made redemption possible. He made it available to us. As a new creation in Christ, we've been cleansed so that we might be part of His body. Verse 15, don't you know that your bodies are part of Christ's body? He made us that. He made that possible for us. Look back up to verse 9. He's talking about His challenges that we would not be deceived. And then he goes on to say, but no sexual immoral people. Here he's talking about the world, and I'll explain that in a minute, but he's saying no sexually immoral people, no idolaters, no adulterers, or anyone practicing homosexuality, no thieves, no greedy people, no drunkards, no verbally abusive people, no swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And this some of you used to be. Meaning, you were this. You were these sinners. But, notice he says, you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. A side note, let me give you the side note. If you notice this, or I want you to notice this as you read this, as you read the book, how frequently Paul will speak of the holistic presence of the Trinity in his statements. If you're questioning, you're not understanding, you're not seeing the presence of the Trinity, it's right there that we were justified by the name of the Lord. We've been made God's sons, judged by the Spirit of our God. Here we are connected to the Son through the body of Christ, and we have been given the Holy Spirit in this to worship God, to glorify God. Verse 19, don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. A sanctuary is a focal point for the worship of God, for the glory of God. So the Creator reveals us. He reveals in this passage, in this portion of His Word, that this is our purpose, to bring others to Christ, that others would learn of Him through us. But I also want you to understand that glorifying God, because it's your purpose, glorifying God brings into your life fulfillment and joy. God wants you to have a fulfilled life. He wants you to have joy in your life. And maybe you're here this morning and you're wrestling with that. You're wrestling with understanding your purpose in life, and you would say, my life is not joyful. I want to suggest to you the reason that you're not experiencing that joy is because you're not living out what God created you to be. You're not living out what God created you to do. You're not bringing glory to Him, because by bringing glory to Him, what you bring into your life is joy. When you reveal the love of Christ, when you let the love of Christ flow through you, you experience love. When you share grace with others, the grace of God flows through you, and you experience that grace, and it is joy. When you live as that sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, when you live by letting others experience God's love, by drawing them to Christ, there is great joy in that. Do you know that joy? Oh, I desire that you would. God desires that you would. And frequently in Scripture, we're told that Christ came that we might have life and that we would have it abundantly. And Jesus would say to His disciples that His desire was them for them is that they would know His joy and that they would experience it in full. So now, consider these things. God has made you. He's made you in His image. He loves you. He's given you a purpose. He's made it possible for you to live out that purpose by saving you through His Son, Jesus Christ. So if God has given so much value to us, He valued us so much that He paid for us twice. Right? He made us, therefore we're His. We rebelled. Then He paid for us again through His Son, Jesus Christ. He loved us that much. He valued us that much. How is it then that we would cover that great joy and that great light with sin? That's what Paul's getting at in this passage. Don't be deceived, he says. We were His, and He bought us again. He's made us the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Jesus said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No, they put it on a candlestick, on a candle holder, so that it would give light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light shine. Let it be seen by men through your works, the works of your body, through the things that you do, so that it will give light to all that are in the house, that it will draw all men to me. But sin distorts that. I want to try to use this as an illustration. I've been thinking this week and how I might be able to illustrate what Paul's talking about here. So I've chosen to do this. Now, as with any illustration, it's not perfect. Don't take it too far. But let me just begin by looking at this. I can't look at that. That's brighter than I thought it would be up here. But by the way, it's an LED, so it's not going to get hot, because some of you are going to get worried here in a minute when I put these claws over. But don't worry about it. It's not going to get hot. As this bulb was made and designed to give light, so you, your life, your body was made and designed and redeemed to give glory to God. Man, sin really turned the light out for us. When we rebelled against God, and each one of us has, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when Christ came into our life, when we yield ourselves to Him and we are saved, the power of the Holy Spirit comes into us, and our life gives off that light, the light of His glory. And so we are to put it on a candlestick. We are to be that city set on a hill so that others would know of God's love and be drawn to Him. And in that we would experience joy. And there is just joy in glorifying God. But sin, and really throughout the whole letter, Paul is speaking of the sin that's come into the life at Corinth. They were fighting against each other, right? In that first chapter. Uh-oh. Hang in there, light bulb. So they're fighting against each other. They're causing division in the body of Christ. And then in this chapter, earlier on in this chapter, he talks about how that they were taking each other to court. In a public court, they were suing each other, trying to get, well, because they thought a brother was taking advantage of them. So they said, well, I'm going to take you to court. Paul's saying, don't you understand what's happening? You know, you were made, and you are the part of the body of Christ so that the world would know about me. And then you just, you know, you start living for yourself. And as you live selfishly, you begin to hide, distort the life and the light of Christ that is within you so that others do not even know, others do not even see. You know, the value of the light is for us and for the world. For us, the light helps us to discern what the truth is. It guides our paths so that we can walk into the fullness of Christ. But when we let sin come into our life, it distorts the light. It covers our ability to draw others to the light. And for the Corinthian believers, Paul was trying to help them understand the truth. They were being deceived. They were saying, we're free in Christ, therefore we can do whatever we want. And Paul is saying, no, you've been cleansed, but you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. See, they were deceived into believing that they weren't important. They were just followers. They weren't leaders. Now, Paul was important, or Peter was important, or Apollos was important in their eyes. And so it was important that their light would shine well and brightly. But you know, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not a leader. So what I do doesn't really matter. And that was a lie. Because you see, in Christ, we are equal in Christ. There are no super saints that are super special and they're the ones that really matter. No, that's not the way it is. We have different responsibilities in the body of Christ, but the ground is level at the cross. We're equal in His sight, and we each have the same responsibility to be faithful witnesses of the light that is within us. None of us are unimportant to God. None of us are insignificant. I mean, the popular worldview in the day in which you and I live in says that, well, by evolution, we're all an accident. We say, well, Pastor, that's just science. No, I'm talking truth here. How we perceive the world in which we live in. See, the truth is God created us with a purpose and for a purpose. The world tells us, no, we're just an accident, so life doesn't really matter. You know, we look at society and we wonder why life has been so devalued that people just go around shooting everybody. Well, the answer is because we buy into this lie that life is cheap, that it doesn't really matter, that it's all by accident anyways. Don't be deceived. You matter to God, and every life matters to God. And you have been bought with a price, and you've been gifted to serve Him, to worship Him. You are the very temple of God. The Corinthian believers were also deceived into believing that their bodies didn't really matter, that what they did with their body didn't matter. And that was, again, from the philosophy of their age, of the world that they lived in. They believed that the man was spirit and physical. And the physical, the body really didn't matter. The spiritual is what mattered. And since they were saying, you know, we've been freed in Christ and God has given us the Holy Spirit, our spiritual life is okay, it's all good, so it doesn't really matter what I do with my body. And so this is what Paul is really getting at here, isn't it? Because he's saying, no, you're being deceived. Your body does matter. Christ redeemed you, your whole soul. He redeemed your whole person, including your body. And it's been redeemed for His glory. You notice the statement in here, food for the stomach and stomach for the food. You'll notice that the statement is in quotations. It's believed that Paul was actually quoting their rationale, their argument to this idea. And they were claiming that because their body is biological, it didn't really matter what they did with it. They were excusing their sexual sin, their sexual immorality. And that was in the church. And we see Paul speaks of specific things, incest and adultery, fornication in the body, and they were saying it doesn't really matter. And their rationale was food's for the stomach, stomach for the food. It's purely physical. But Paul stops them short. He says, yeah, it's true that food and the stomach were made for each other, but it's also true that the relationship is temporal and temporary. That God has redeemed us, and when we have a resurrected body, we'll have no longer any need for food or stomach. They won't matter. But you will still have a body. Our bodies, he says, were not made for sexual immorality. See, we live in the same world that Paul lived in. Really. We live in a world that tells us that everything in our life is about sex, right? So that we all identify ourselves by sexual orientation. Paul's saying, no, your body is not made for sex. Your body is made for God. God made sex, but He made it for marriage. He made it for a covenant relationship that would honor Him. Anything outside of that is sexual immorality. What the believers in Corinth were saying, well, it doesn't really matter what I do with my body. Paul's saying, no, you are deceived. You're not seeing the big picture here. We need to hear this biblical truth that sexual immorality carries a great danger to the believer, to the church, and to the name of Christ. What does Paul say? Well, he says, flee from sexual immorality. Every sin a person can commit is outside of the body. But on the contrary, the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. And don't you know that you are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? So it's like he's saying, you know, this is sexual sin. You know, other sin diffuses the light and inhibits your testimony, but man, sexual sin destroys it. You don't have a testimony. Nobody's going to listen to you about the love of God and the freedom that is in Christ when you step into sexual sin, when you excuse sexual sin. You are not understanding the truth. Paul says, everything's permissible for me, but I will not be brought under the control of anything. So what was he saying there? Well, he's saying, see, what the Corinthians are saying is, I'm free, I've been freed in Christ, I'm free to do what I want to do. Paul's saying, I'm free too, I'm in Christ. But I am not going to do something that entangles me, that enslaves me again. I was made free. Why would I do that to myself? So flee sexual immorality, he says. Run from it. Why? So that the light of Christ would be seen in you and through you, that you might glorify God in your body. Because you see, when you enter into sexual sin, you are putting your life under a bushel basket. That light is put out. The world will not see it. But God has redeemed our bodies for Himself, and He will raise our bodies at Christ's return. This is part of the big picture. You are made for a relationship with God that is eternal. And in God's plan, in His wisdom, it's eternal. But He hasn't just redeemed your spirit, He's redeemed your body. You're going to receive a resurrected body. That your union with Christ would be eternal in a body. So your body does matter because you're going to have it for eternity. Now it's going to be a different body. It's going to be changed by God's grace. I'm looking forward to that. But it is eternal. God, we're not going to be disembodied spirits in eternity. We're going to have a body. And our bodies are designed to serve Him in this life and in the life to come. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Yes, Christ can clean us up. And He can clean you up today. He can forgive you. He can cleanse you of sin. So let your light shine among men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And glorifying God with our life brings joy. And the joy of His light brings truth and peace. Friend, if you have that salvation in Christ, let that light shine. The truth I want you to understand is that salvation is available to you no matter who you are, where you've been. I mean, Paul gave that list of those who were part of the church. He said, so were some of you. They were deep in sin, but yet God redeemed them and sanctified them and cleansed them. And so He will with you if you yield to Him your life. And when you yield your life to Him, then you can begin to live your life on purpose and for a purpose that brings glory to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to thank You for Your love. Lord, in it, we come to discover who You've made us to be. It might be that for some that are here today, we've been living without an understanding of our purpose, running busily to do things, this and that. But Lord, we're not listening to You. We're not understanding. We've been deceived by the world in which we live in. We're listening to the things that are not truth, that are not from our Creator. We're buying into that, and so it gives us a distorted view on life and on the purpose of our life. Oh, Father, I pray You teach us the truth. And we let Your Holy Spirit convict us and change us inside out. Lord, I pray for those that may be here this morning who have never surrendered their life to Christ, Lord, that You draw them to Yourself, that they might know You. Lord, I pray for believers that are here this morning and they're struggling with sin in their life. Lord, help them to see that it is blocking out the opportunities they have to give glory to You. Father, remind us of these things. Bring us to a place of repentance and renewal. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.